guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Hi Justine, how's it going?
Kia ora, good thank you, how are you?
Fantastic, thanks. All right, as per, we have some questions for you, Justine, about unions and work, and a little depressing as they are each time we speak, but anyway, let's just get into it.
We're working towards having no questions because we'll solve all the problems.
The week we have no questions, we will know that we have achieved everything we set out to do and everything is fine forever.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're not quite there yet. This person asks, has there been a change to statutory holidays? And also, how many bereavement leave days are we now entitled to?
Has there been a change to statutory holidays? Not quite sure what this person means, but we do have a new statutory holiday, which is Matariki, which I believe is in June. So that's exciting. We have an extra day. It is our holidays a few years ago were also Mondayized. So if a public holiday falls on a weekend, that's then on the Monday, which I think most people know. But if you're I think maybe this person's asking, when you're supposed to be paid a time and a half, right? And so if a public holiday falls on your usual day of work, you should be entitled to that time and a half pay. So that's what I would say, but it does have to be a usual day of work. It's a day that you would usually work. So say a public holiday is on Friday, that would be a usual day of work for you, and you should be paid public holiday pay.
Okay. And with some bereavement leave, has that changed how many days we're entitled to?
So bereavement leave, the statutory entitlement is 3 days. What's changed recently is sort of broadening out. So we now have dispensation for, leave if you've suffered a miscarriage and things like that. But the minimum entitlement is 3 days. That's the law. A lot of contracts, though, will give people a little bit more. So I'd encourage people to just check out if there is a clause for bereavement leave in their contract and what that sort of outlines, because that's the minimum, but there are contracts that which give people more, and there can be special types of bereavement leave, like for instance some places actually have special bereavement leave for when you lose a pet.
Oh wow, fair enough.
Something to ask for if you're ever negotiating a contract.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps you out, Texter. What else have you got there, Anika?
Next up, someone is wondering if there's a general percentage of wage increase taking into account that inflation is 5.9%. They are not sure about how much more they should be asking for when it comes to their wage increases.
Yeah, they said they heard that it's that you should be asking for a 10% wage increase every year, but they're not sure. And it's always so awkward. Like, you don't want to sell yourself short, but also
don't want to overstep, and you're like, oh,
ask for more than what your boss earns.
And it's just an awkward
something.
Conversation anyway, so.
Anyway.
It's an awkward conversation. You know how we can make it less awkward? If we're in collective bargaining and we're doing it together.
Okay, yes.
So firstly, you don't need to ask for a raise when you're in the union, because every time your contract is re-upped for negotiations, the union, alongside representatives elected, who actually work there, so workers, will get together across the table and negotiate a really good deal, hopefully. It tends to be much better than the deals we get individually. So firstly join your union, because we can do this together and make it a lot easier. And there's very smart people who will look at the market and sort of assess where, how much leverage workers have and how much they can ask for. So, for instance, in 2004, this is just one example, the nurses got a huge pay increase. I believe it was around 20%.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge increase, right? So just an example, right? So in terms of, how much you're asking for, generally we would say that it would be around around what inflation is. So because inflation is so high, the minimum you'd want to be asking for is just for you know, what we call a CPI adjustment. So a CPI stands for the Consumer Price Index, but it's basically just like a kind of rough measure of inflation. So with inflation sitting at 5.9%, you might want to look at that as like a barometer, like that's the minimum.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, 10%, I don't necessarily think that's true, to be honest. That's quite a lot to ask for every year. I'm just being honest. and I don't think you'll find many workers who'd be able to negotiate that. But I would look at your, as I said, like you kind of need to look at your market position. You need to look at other roles, similar roles, what they're being paid. You need to at least be asking for, you know, a cost of living adjustment. So, you know, as I said, whatever inflation is that year. And yeah, so it really does depend. I'm sorry, I can't give a specific number, but based on the cost of living inflation and go from there. If you feel like, one, you've really progressed, you're doing a lot more work, you're doing a lot more complicated work, you know, like your value has increased, that would be a reason to ask for more. But if you think, I'm actually doing the same job, I'm doing a good job, and I'm paid pretty well, you'd mostly just be wanting to ask for a cost of living adjustment, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, it does. This person says, this is quite a funny one. This person says, my boss never pays for my lunch if we have a work meeting outside of work, and it
really annoys them.
Am I being petty? I thought it was just an unspoken rule that bosses were supposed to shout you lunch if you have a work meeting. I just want my fancy free meals, goddamn.
So, like, 100%. If you're required to go to a fancy restaurant to have a work meeting, that seems to me to be a workplace expense.
Yes.
And I would definitely expect the costs to be covered. I think if I was being really petty, I would order water and say that I can't afford anything here due to... So either, you know, you can pay me more so I can afford to go to these places often, or you can pay for my meal really. So I mean, I might be a bit I think your boss is being a bit cheeky, and I might be a bit cheeky back, but you know, up to you, caller.
And then just order like 5 cocktails as well when they say they're going to pay for your lunch. Just order like the whole menu.
Exactly.
I think we've got one more question that's come through. Do you want to read that out, Anika?
Finally, someone is asking if there are any unions for babysitters or nannies and or nannies.
No, not that I know of, unless you count, I guess, the Babysitters Club. I'm just joking. No, ITU is the largest private sector union, and it covers a, you know, variety and diversity of workers in different workplaces. So, you know, I'd say ITU is your best bet. There's not anything that I can think of. Always encourage people in specific sectors to think about, you know, even informal kind of groups where they can talk about their working conditions, because I think that's just a positive as well. It's pretty difficult, I got to say, like pretty difficult industry to, I think, to organize and unionize. In terms of protecting yourself, though, and just making sure that, you know, if anything ever goes wrong, you can call someone, get legal advice, et cetera, ITU, is the largest private sector union, so probably just encourage you to join that general union. But get together with your fellow babysitters and talk about conditions.
I know it's super informal, but I remember from when I used to nanny, there is a Facebook group for, like, Auckland babysitters and nannies, which heaps of people in it. And there are always people sort of on there asking for advice or what to do when stuff gets a bit difficult. So, yeah, no. But it is a lot more informal than actually having a sort of an official union.
I think for people in specific sectors, like, there's no reason why you can't even create, like, associations, you know? A lot of industries have that. Doctors have, you know, various groups which look after their interests and things like that. It might be worthwhile. So, you know, have a think about that. I think, like, you know, like industries, for instance, like gaming development, you know, probably need something very specific to them that, you know, understands that sector. Definite room to move here. And so don't, just because there isn't necessarily a specific union doesn't mean, you know, that you shouldn't, that if you want to create a specific representative organization, like, please do. We need it.
I wanted to ask Justine, because you've been in the union business for a while now. have you seen, like, positive change since you've started?
I think that young people are a lot more interested, like young working people are a lot more interested and keen to like organize their workplaces than has been the case previously, which is like a really, I think, a really positive development. Like just even the fact that we've been doing the show and people are interested and people sending questions. You know, I think, I think people have stopped accepting that, oh, this is just the way things are, and started thinking about how that actually, you know, we need a voice and we need to have a say and we need to change the just totally uneven power dynamic in workplaces in New Zealand. So, I do. I am seeing positive changes, for sure. Like, just definitely, like, you know, like, there was, you know, maybe 10 years ago, the union movement had a lot of problems just, like, hey, where's young people?
Yeah.
I guess young people are coming, so that's awesome. And the other thing is we've seen a kind of, like, wave of, like, strikes and unionizations in America. And as with anything, we tend to be about, like, a few years behind just culturally.
Yeah.
The trends elsewhere. So be an early adopter. Be a union hipster. Get into unions now because, you know, it's going to be all the rage.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Esper,
Justine.
Sachs. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. See you guys. Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.